Hello everyone and welcome to Season 2, Episode 4 of Wind Talks Podcast. On this episode, we have with us Ms. Bharti Subramani, someone who has been in the scientific background and now is an entrepreneur in the field of aerospace and defense. Before we dive deep into a conversation with her, let's have a brief intro. Ms. Bharti Subramaniam is a distinguished professional in the field of system engineering with over 29 years of experience, primarily within the aerospace and avionics sectors. She completed her Master's of Science in Computer Science from the Mysore University in 1990. Building upon her foundational knowledge in physics, which she obtained as a major during her undergraduate studies. Her commitment to excellence in research and development has been recognized with the prestigious Dr. Byron Roy Trust Award for outstanding contribution to the Light Combat Aircraft LCA program at the Aeronautical Development Agency in Bangalore. Bharti's diverse career path has seen her excel in critical roles, including being a scientist at the Indian Defence Research Organisation, DRDO, manager at HCL Technologies and Thales Software India, and leadership positions as Vice President and COO at N-Tier Business Solutions and CEO at startups Avignan TechWorks and Tamopaha Technologies. Her entrepreneurial vision at Tamopaha is driven by a desire to foster innovation and develop world-class technological products in the areas such as IoT and embedded systems across multiple domains, including aerospace, healthcare, and alternative energy. Bharti is passionate about empowering Indian talent to establish a pioneer presence in advanced technology sectors, ensuring that India continues to cultivate solutions and products that address complex global challenges. Her unwavering commitment to fostering collaboration within cross-border teams reinforces her dedication to innovation, technological advancement, and competitive engineering. Thank you so much for joining us today, ma'am, and welcome to our podcast. And I was very much looking forward to talking to you. It's so rare to find women in a very highly technical field, and especially in segments that are called strategic, say a defense or something to do with healthcare. It's quite rare to find. Lately, I feel there are more women, but from the time that you started, I think it was a very tough start. And wading your way through all this and the way place you are today, I think it's very commendable. And I'm actually looking forward to learning a lot of things from you. So welcome to Wind Talks.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Ma. It's my pleasure that you called me for this discussion. Yes, what you said is right. Compared to when I started to maybe it was in 90s that I got into the job. Compared to that time to now, of course, there are many more women, but the challenges still remain the same. It is an exciting field, and I think it's God's grace, and also my, you know, it was a passion from beginning, which I'm happy that I've come here, and there's miles to go.
Yes.
Yes, thank you so much.
So ma'am, I know that you started as a scientist at DRDO, and then now you are an entrepreneur.
Yes.
Take us through that journey.
Yeah, see, I did my schooling and all in North Karnataka in Hubli. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I was coming to 10th or 11th, I started observing and seeing news about what is happening in ISRO, what is happening in DRDO, and computer science was something new. So these two were my, you know, attracting me a lot. and I was already very much passionate about physics. And, you know, so this combination, I wanted something to happen. I wanted to go in that mode. And I did my BSc Physics and then applied for DRDO, came up with a scheme. And I applied for it. And I remember even in the interview for the, you know, for joining, I was asked about the ISRO satellite program, etc. and all that. So it seemed like, you know, a divine intervention to put things in place. And yes, of course, I didn't join engineering. I was a little bit disappointed. You know, I had gotten admission and due to, you know, typical middle class financial issues and all that, I couldn't join. I had got a government seat, but I couldn't join. But my school teacher, physics sir, called me and told me, don't worry, you'll never regret this. Because your intentions are right and your passion and you're going in that direction, God will course correct. And it happened. And, you know, I landed up in DRDO. And that was my glorious time, actually. And I really enjoyed what I wanted. And I wanted to do something for the country.
Mm-hmm.
So doing something for the Defense Force, computer science, and R&D.
Yeah.
You know, it was a deadly combination. And, of course, I was one of the first few women coming there. And that by itself was a challenge. But, you know, I always addressed it as, you know, thinking that I shouldn't think of it as a male versus female. I tried to get out of that. I tried to play as I'm a scientist. You know, if you continuously, consciously do that and don't try to respond to the environment, whatever it is trying to do, I think it will accept you.
Yes.
And that's what happened. But I was with DRDO for 15 years. I was with the LCA project, did a lot of wonderful things. And I should thank my, you know, my bosses there, Dr. Kota Harinarayana, Kalam, and all the other bosses there. They made it convenient for me. I mean, they took me in. I mean, with whatever I wanted to do, they were supportive. And, of course, my dad, my mom, you know, they understood. They let me do what I want to do, you know, which is very important. And they telling, you know, so that I think everybody helped me out. The support system was very good and everything fell in place. And I think for everybody it will happen if your passion is strong and it's really, you know, that should be there. That I think will take you all through that. I did a lot of good work, but something was missing. You know, I was feeling that, you know, this every time it was looking like as though every project I go and give a suggestion to course correct, it doesn't happen, then finally I do it myself. So I was feeling that I should do something on my own. You know, that entrepreneurship, I want to do something and show to people that this is the way to do. Why are you messing it up and then making it okay? So that was always there at the back of mind. And then after my DRDO, I quit DRDO. I took a volunteer retirement. Then went, joined you know, multinationals, Indian multinational, which was working for bigger companies, you know, world, global companies. And then I joined Thales. I worked for different companies and all throughout I've been doing different systems for the world.
Okay.
I've seen the teams of the world. And I realized even then I was still not feeling it is complete. Okay. You know, I felt still I have to do something on my own. So that whole journey after 25 years, some people say I'm a late starter. But at 50, I started on my own, you know. So that's how it was, you know. Say the urge to do and show that how it can be done right. You know, in fact, my company's tagline is do as you should.
Do as you should.
Should.
Okay.
Anything.
Yes.
You want to do marketing, see, we are now, if you see now, many of us are lost from the purpose, you know. In a sense, you want to do marketing, you're not selling your product's input. You're trying to tell others are not doing well. That's not right. You have to highlight. So I gave an example of marketing. Similarly, applying the processes for doing a product, a design.
Yes.
What is your, you know, framework within which you should do? So you should do everything as you should.
Yes.
The results will come good.
Yes.
So that passion, that in spite of not being, you know, not having enough funds. And in a way, I think it is a blessing in disguise because if you have money, I might have spent it all in a year and not known what to do. Now I've learned the art that I have to be careful what I do, but I still have to keep going.
Yeah.
You know, I think that was a good combination. So that's my journey from being a scientist to an entrepreneur now. Yes.
You spoke about a few very, very common things that, you know, I've heard from every entrepreneur. And I think that is about being passionate about yes. what you do. Yes. And second is not losing the purpose that you have in
yes.
life.
Yes.
And we largely, when we go on in life, we kind of forget what, you know, correct. The purpose why we entered something.
Correct, correct.
And it's lost.
Yes.
But another thing that caught my ear was you said the LCA program.
Yes.
I'm sure there were a lot of things that, you know, went on very well. And yeah. there were some challenges.
Yes.
So let's talk a little bit about it.
Yeah. Challenges, yes, because it is a, if you take an LCA project, we were doing something, it's a very huge project. You know, see, I was part of the avionics division, which is one third of the whole aircraft. No, the aircraft is made smart by avionics. You know, it is giving the intelligence to the aircraft. Mm. So if you see now, if you say fifth generation, sixth generation aircraft, mm. the amount of intelligence goes on increasing. Yeah. It could be IoT, embedded systems, to now AI systems. Yeah. You know, this is what it is. So we were doing pretty complex job. So, of course, the challenges also will be equally yeah. there, you know, and with the kind of not having the facility of, the global support,
yeah.
you know, so they, when they feel that you're doing something, they're going to lose the business of buying their things, you know, so yeah. when we are building our own, so that challenge also was there.
Okay.
So again, I'm saying it's a blessing in disguise because we understood we have to do it ourselves. So there were a lot of challenges,
yes.
but overall, our bosses put a nice process and made us go through it. Quality was not compromised. He put all those structures. Mm. But at the end of the day, we were getting some challenges because we were doing the first time, you know. So there were, you know, it was more of a, I would say, a design challenge. I mean, it was for discovering the, doing it right. See, you know, design, we understood what is the structure we are going about it. I'll tell you one project. Where, you know, that was my first embedded system.
Okay.
And that time we didn't have, we didn't have the systems. We were not getting easily the computers then in 90s and all that. Yeah. So I had a Pentium system and my target what we had designed was a very low-end processor.
Okay.
So I didn't know this and because of the timing mismatch, I was totally out of, from what the spec was, you know. And so we had to rework. Come up with, by ourselves, we had to look at, just look at the theory and come up with what could be the solutions.
Okay.
And we were 3 months down the line, I wrote the whole code had to be written in assembly. And then we achieved the target. So in a way, like this, I can list out n number of challenges,
mm-hmm.
which were all like we are part of the bigger project, okay. the LCA. So there are a lot of small things that we started doing. And I used to campaign from that time itself, as you are telling, you know, we have to have our own stack of products, I used to say.
Yes.
You know, I used to say, we are doing something for the bigger project, but let's make something which is reusable.
Mm-hmm.
So that we come up with the next version of the aircrafts, yes. or we use it for a missile program,
mm.
we use it for another program from this technology. So let's make reusable products. So I used to try out, you know, if in the whole main project, I used to carve out some team, you know, funds to make a product. You know, I used to try to make a product and I have done a lot of, proto versions because LCA itself was so much sucking in terms of time and effort, you know. So these all I used to try to do, but many times it used to stop at proto, you know. And I'm seeing now the products that I suggested in 90s, are now being done by some of the Western countries and they are selling at licenses in crores.
Wow.
You know, so now people are understanding. For example, I'll tell you, Linux
yes.
is an operating system which came in mid-90s and all that.
Yes.
You know, I used to be passionately attending all the user conferences and getting out what is happening and all that. And I told my office people, lab, the idea that let's adopt this now. Let's make it ROS. You know, all my seniors, because they were busy, not that they were all my seniors and they were too good, actually. But they felt, you know, this will die out. This is an open source.
Mm.
This will die out. Today, when I meet them, they have all retired, and then they say, Bharti, you said it right that time. Mm. So, all through when our focus is on the bigger project, we have had a lot of challenges, which we try to, you know, it could be a process challenge. Mm. For example, scientists, the amount of scientists are limited. You know, we cannot keep on increasing, taking government employees.
Yeah.
So we came up with a scheme that we will outsource. You know, this outsourcing concept, we brought in then.
Oh, wow.
But we had a wonderful seniors, you know, very good top leaders who accepted inputs from juniors and allowed us to grow up into that position. So we came, in terms of process, we have had a lot of challenges which we came up with suggestions and we made it work.
Yeah.
You know, of course, it could have taken one or two iterations. But we came up with that, and there are a lot of challenges. I told you one or two. Many challenges we have come across and solved it.
Mm.
And now we have, as our Dr. Kota says, it's not only that LCA flew, our confidence also has taken off. Technology has taken off.
Yeah.
India is today not taken as a person whom you can come and talk. We understand what they're saying.
What they say. Oh, yeah.
You know, so that's the transformation. Yes, yes.
It was not an easy task, but the one thing that I also learned here again was, you know, never give up. And you were always an entrepreneur who was somewhere else, working for someone.
Yes.
When you said that, you know, you were trying to make prototypes of everything, that's thinking ahead in time. And that's what entrepreneurs generally work on.
Yes.
And that's not quite well accepted in a corporate setup or in any setup where, you know, they don't look at such ideas. And we're still, in general, I don't see largely there are corporates who welcome such things, but until unless you don't move out and start something on your own and you do not have the foresight or the thinking like an entrepreneur, both these will not help you to, you know, achieve whatever you're trying to do.
Yeah.
You spoke about a few challenges and few things that helped you, you know, like through the process, and it was a learning. And also there was another thing that I thought was very interesting that you spoke about is why make mistakes and then learn them when you know that, you know, there's someone giving you the knowledge who has experienced it and is trying to tell you that, hey, you know, we don't have to do this mistake now. On the same lines, I'm sure the world, the corporate world that you worked in, helped you as an entrepreneur. What are the few things other than, you know, the foresight that you had and the challenges that you faced, what are the few more things that helped you from your corporate world to make you an entrepreneur?
Yeah, so when I went from a government setup to a corporate setup, there's a lot of learning, surely. In the sense, you know, how do you see when you're working on an R&D institute, you know, your boundaries are different. You know, when you're going there, what is that, what is it to a customer? You know, how do you satisfy a customer? And how do you make, connection between what you are, the scope of the project? See, in government, you could go a little bit out of boundary and all that thing.
Yeah.
You know, you might discover something else, you may do something else. So that was the kind of place from which I came to the corporate world. There, and systematically managing the customer and giving value add to what the customer asked. You know, you have to differentiate.
Yes.
And you should sell. You know, that was one, I think it's a very, very important thing for an entrepreneur to, you know, to understand, which I didn't know that I'm going to learn this, but becoming an entrepreneur, before becoming an entrepreneur, spending some time in the corporate world was, I wanted to know what it is. So in fact, I took up global MNCs where I could work, and even the customers were that way. And the team also was a global team.
Yes.
You know, I had people from all countries in all these places, either as customer or as a vendor, partner, or whatever it is. So I got a wholesome view of, and I think that is very important in the corporate culture. One is understanding what is it to, how do you satisfy a customer? That's a big, you know, it can be three words, but it means a lot. You know, so you must be conscious and you should be You know, there should be traceability between what the customer wants and what you're giving. Yes. You should always be conscious. Everything should be go around it. Yes. And second thing is the cost. You know, the what you're spending to what you're earning. You know, yes. See the revenue, the profitability. Yes. How do you make it? How do you gel this, what the customer wants, and keep them happy and still make it a business? Yes. You know, I think these were some big learnings from there. But as you rightly said, you know, even there, this whole thing, because of the same, these two same things, like the customer and running towards making a business, you know, making it into a product is always a secondary, you know, working out on detail, you know, coming up with the original product always takes a backseat. You know, so and another thing I believe is whenever you have a company, the company's vision should be to do their own products. But when you want to really be a world leader,
yes,
you have to have the product, your own product.
Yes.
Your design should be yours.
Yes.
I think the design focus, especially for a country like India, in this situation now, when in this geopolitical situation, where everybody, the world is seeing that India is going to become the superpower.
Yes.
You know, it is marching towards it. I think this concept of having our own design, our own products will add in a big way to that whole concept of us becoming a global leader. You know, we'll have the say, we could do so. I've learned a lot from corporate, but that there also there is a deterrence from, you know, that's why you need to become an entrepreneur.
Yes.
If you want to really do it. But that has been a good learning for me from the corporate world of, you know, really making business. I think that has added, I've taken a lot from that from to my entrepreneurial journey.
Okay.
Yes, yes.
There are a few things that you spoke about and I think we should talk a little more about. You spoke about IoT.
Yes.
You spoke about AI.
Yes.
And you spoke about embedded systems.
Yes.
And then you spoke about research and development design.
Correct.
And India.
Yes.
So now putting all those together,
yes,
I think you've got a many years of experience in all these areas.
Yes.
And it was, you were there when the world was still not there.
Yes.
How do you think the whole concept to product is moving towards when we look at it in the IoT embedded space in India per se? And do you think, you know, we are making progress?
Yeah, so see, as I said, I started my work from the 90s.
Mm.
You know, 90s, we were doing IoT then.
Mm.
We were doing some amount of AI. Okay. In fact, it was one of my favorite subjects in my MSc.
Okay.
But you know what? Now it's become a fashion to give names. You know, you give different names every other day. So you had IoT coming in. It's nothing but embedded systems on the cloud or on internet is IoT. Then now you have Internet of Things, it's called. So you have embedded systems. Basically, embedded system is you making every system, every product that you see around intelligent. You put electronics into it. Then the changeable intelligence is the software which you can program, reprogram, etc. That's the... And over and above that, AI has become... adding more intelligence.
Yes.
That means you are trying to, see, basically intelligence means you are trying to imitate what a human being can do.
Yes.
What embedded systems was doing was, it was trying to automate many of the things,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yes.
Your fridge is smart, it knows when the milk is over, is now, you know, the new talk,
yes,
new thing, you know.
Yes.
It will itself order for the milk and that will be given. You have an IoT, through
yes.
the cloud it tells.
Yes.
So these are all happening. So there were embedded systems, then it was IoT in a little refined format.
Yes.
Now, this AI is adding more intelligence to it. That means closer to the way human thinks they are trying to bring it in. So, if you see world over, there are some giants who are working, but most of it is happening, you know, on the general consumer electronic space or the, you know, the enterprise world. For example, you have ChatGPT. So, you say Excel has become smarter. You know, you can, if you want to, you are, nowadays you're seeing ads on telling, you know, share market.
Yes.
You want to do a better earning, then go for AI-based tools. So there it is coming in. You know, there the amount of intelligence that is required is relatively less compared to the high-tech fields that you see, like defense or healthcare. You want to bring devices which take decisions on their own. Mm. Or an aircraft when you want it to fly on its own. You know, it is. We are doing lots of intelligence is there. We call it as decision support system. Wherein the pilot is the final decision maker if you take an aircraft. So he or a tank. Tanks are also intelligent now with lot of... So there, the pilot or the man who's running the tank takes the decision. But he is being supported by all these systems. So these are all coming in world over. It is happening. There is lot of, I feel there's a lot of noise. Actually, what is coming out is going to be related very much in percentage less. And we have been there on embedded systems from then. If not, I wouldn't say on the consumer electronics, which we have been importing components from outside. But on the defense side and the Triforce, whatever we are giving requirements to them, I think we've been on par or above par with the world. But only thing we were not, because of so many other conditions, we were not allowed, because of the geopolitical situation, we were forced to buy from somewhere for our own security. And always the government's job is to be prepared for...
Yes.
So they have to make a conscious decision of make versus buy. Yeah, okay. So that will always be there. They'll start increasing the make once in a while, and suppose there's an urgency, the buy will increase. So this is going on. So we are trying to be in this make space.
Yes.
We want to increase our presence in the make space.
Absolutely.
In buy also, technology people have a role.
Yes.
Because even to buy a component and integrate it, there is some amount. But relatively, we will be more on stronger basis when we have more work on the make side. So this embedded IoT and AI now, I think the current situation, India is in a very, very crucial stage.
Okay.
I think we should grab this opportunity. Yes. I want to, in fact, my dream is to go talking about this, Please start doing designing our own. Let's have a community which designs.
Yes.
You design one, I'll design one. Let us not repeat. Mm. Let's all together make a pool of, things which we can give to the global market.
Yes.
We ourselves our home need also is huge.
Yes.
That'll be very important because we'll become self-reliant. The intelligence is with us. See, for example, now whatever you say, suppose you take, when in AI, data set plays a big role.
Yeah.
The data, whatever data you take, because based on that only, see, suppose to talk in layman's term, if I want a child to recognize this is a shoe and the child should not bite it, I'll have to show different kinds of shoes and keep on repeating, this is a shoe, this is also a shoe, this is also a shoe.
Correct.
What does it mean? Data set.
Yes.
So similarly, if you extrapolate to big problems, data is the biggest element that will drive the whole success of AI. Now, we are depending on outside world for the data.
Okay.
Because they have started already gathering data. We are lagging behind. So we will start depending on them for data, and they will put on an embargo on giving the data to you.
Yes.
You can't do much without the data.
Yes.
So this is the right time. We should build our own data sets. We should build our own products.
Yes.
So I think this is at the right time. There's lots happening, but there should be different groups, pressure groups trying to bring this, and it may not be self-interest. It could all, self-interest is also embedded in it.
Yes.
But as a country, I think we can do a lot of things.
Yes.
The talent is there. See, if you see anywhere when you want to do some successful technology, you need human resources should be good.
Correct.
Then you need the will to do the design and development.
Correct.
And you should build products, So in all these, human resource also, we have a demographic dividend. We are the youngest nation. So we have the people. So we should use them properly.
Yes.
Have this focus. So I think many of us talking about it and interacting, we should have different groups where we keep talking about this and pulling up each other.
Yes.
I think as a nation, we'll be doing able to do something wonderful.
This is such a wonderful thought that you've put across. I keep hearing, from lot many people who have been in this industry for quite some time, the electronics industry per se, and they say that long back, when the entire electronic industry started, when China and every other place were still thinking about what electronics is, India was there.
Yes.
And we had everything in place. But we were so complacent and we sat back that, yes, you know, they moved forward. We didn't catch,
yes,
the bus.
Yes, yes.
And we are again, yet again, in the same situation where if we do not catch the bus, yes, we're going to miss it again.
Yes.
And everyone else is just going to, you know, bank,
yes,
on that situation.
Yes, yes.
We spoke about a few things in design, and I want to talk a little more about design.
Anna.
And in a few specific segments that, you know, you are into. Let us specifically talk about three segments. One is the defense and aerospace.
Yeah.
Another being the healthcare, and another being sustainable, you know, alternate source of energy, and,
yes,
that we're looking at.
Yes.
And you've worked in all three of these sectors.
Yes.
Do you think that in all these three segments, we are there is some innovation that is happening? And there is use of, like you said, it is the intelligence that is needed in terms of, you know, the requirement for these segments are very high. But do you think that, you know, we are there, and, you know, we are moving towards that space and the design space and those areas?
Yeah, I think, all these three areas that you spoke about, mm-hmm, there is need. As I said, there's requirement globally.
Okay.
So many things have happened. For example, if you take the alternate energy, you know, the technology is still not, you know, available to make it usable technology. For example, it's very costly to take a solar panel and generate energy, you know. So there are hardcore research going on how to make a solar panel cheaper version so that you get it.
Okay.
You know, now, in those areas, that's what is the major job that is going on. So there, hardcore technology developments are going on at the very basic level of technology needs.
Okay,
research kind of thing is going on. Otherwise, mostly it is government has to fund. Otherwise, it doesn't become sustainable, especially for industries to take over.
Okay.
So that's why you'll hear more on the alternate energy space that we need subsidies. It is the need there. But if you come to healthcare and aerospace defense, you know, there's lots that is required. Because, you know, see, in healthcare, if you see, one is reducing the distance between the available, you know, healthcare professional to the user. See, for example, a person in Orissa wants a doctor who is in Chennai. You know, he coming here and staying here is a problem. So that connectivity. And more of, you know, doing operations online, getting consultancy online, you know, you want to get an X-ray to show it to your doctor. So you are asked to go to some other place to get a X-ray done. And then you have to come here, bring that X-ray and come back. So there's a lot of loss of time and data integrity, whether you're getting suppose you don't get the X-ray properly and you're asked to go back again, and the doctor says, so there is, this is there, this is happening. But in India, that's what I say. You know, it is happening in pieces. I feel there should be connectivity and seeing that together we are able to do. Because it is because it's a huge job.
Yes.
It's a huge job.
Yes.
And we know what to do. That's the best thing.
Yes.
The beauty is we know what to do. So there are some big, giants who are trying to do something on that. But again, that's what I'm saying. They're all doctors by profession. They should give out, they should, I'll tell you. See, you have to see what is your core competency and do. Suppose there is a big medical chain, you know, big group. They cannot, just because they're doctors, they cannot take up this. They are doing that mistake.
Oh, okay.
You know, they try to take technology in their hands. They should ideally start a company which is not controlled by them. Allow technology giants to run a company and give you the outputs.
That you need.
Yeah. That is not happening. That's about healthcare, because it is more of, it is more a private, this one. So that's what is happening. There are some people, but still significantly we don't have big people there. And another thing is, there are giants world over who are there. When you are trying to do, whether it is in India or outside, when there's already a giant and if you want to match steps, then that difficulty will be there. So that's what is happening in the healthcare.
Yes.
In alternate space, everybody is trying to make better technology to bring it affordable.
Okay.
healthcare in India, we still are not. But this is the time for us again, even in healthcare industry, to make our do. Yes, because world over, there is no people to do it. Aging population, nobody is taking up science. Yeah. You know, world over, they are having problems to get people to colleges itself. Whereas if you see here, we have people going to colleges. Of course, we may discuss that the quality is not good, etc. But we still can do it.
Yes.
We still can do it. But only thing, that is what I said. We have to connect the dots and we have to, you know, join hands. Yes. That should be there. I mean, see, we have to win together.
Yeah.
And both of us can get our pie.
Yes.
That we should understand. And we should be able to go. That's about healthcare. But aerospace, defense, I think we are much ahead than the other two industries as far as India is concerned. Because all through, you know, from day one, whichever is the government, it's always been asking us to deliver.
Really?
They've been giving us freedom. They've been telling you're different. You do your best. We try our best. So we have been, I should say that come what may, whichever government, now we are, of course, more Atmanirbhar, Skill India, all that is giving a bigger push. And they are openly showing, and I think because of the geopolitical situation also, there is a bigger push, and we are now very much in aerospace and defense industry. We are more closer to doing things as it should be. But there also, there is lots, and you know, as I feel that we also should not be waiting for just government to help us out. We have to take that trouble and we should meet halfway. So there's lots happening there. I think there are a lot of startups to mid-level, like Vinyas has been there in, you know, 3-4 decades now. We all are there in the business. So there are veterans, there are juniors coming in, startups coming up. I think all of them should gel and see. They should make a matrix which is comfortable for them, and then we should be able to. I think aerospace and defense is more closer to achieving this than the other two industries. Yeah.
So, so you're clear that, you know, we are there.
Yes.
But we have to all get together in every segment.
Yes, true.
And
true.
Work towards, you know, achieving a common goal. Because we are all working towards, but then we're working in separate sides. The more we come together, we reach the goal of, you know, make in India.
Yes, very much.
Quicker.
Yes, true. Very true.
With that, just digressing a little bit, because you spoke about sustainable energy, alternate and everything. It's quite the buzzword. Sustainability in itself is spoken about in every platform. Say if it's a quality program, they're talking about sustainability. It's something about entrepreneurship, there is sustainability. You get listed, then you have to be a sustainable, you need to start thinking about it. Do you think in the segment of specifically two of these segments, that is aerospace and defense and healthcare, the word sustainable can be associated?
It's a very tricky question. See, I also, this is also one of my, you know, what focus are, I should say, interest area.
Okay.
I feel any job you do now, see, Mother Earth is the only one we have. We may say we may have wealth, we all of us can become richer than the other, etc. But there's no other Earth till date. You know, tomorrow Elon Musk may find something on Mars and he may start giving us plots there. That's a different story. But as of now, and I don't think, I can't imagine we can get something like Earth, you know. You see what it has, what she has, and how welcoming she has been. You take the river, you take the forest, you take the animals, you know, flora, fauna, everything together. You see it all over the world. I'm telling Earth as a... So, there is a big problem that we are stressing her out. That is true. That is true. But I think, you know, if we take care of the other fields, for example, I feel we are in a hurry to discover things. At least, I don't remember who was the person who spoke. I heard in a, you know, TED Talks. He says over 1 million years of human evolution, we have finished doing important discoveries in the first 100th part.
Oh, wow.
99 part, we are wasting time, he says. In the sense, see, for example, I feel plastic is such a wasted exercise.
Yeah.
We were in a hurry to find something to suit our laziness.
Correct.
So we found plastic. And we are living with it. Now what we are doing? We are trying to destroy it. I think this cycle should reduce. Overall, any industry, I think this parameter should be seriously given a thought. Mm-hmm. You should see whether you are eco-friendly. You should have a checklist and see how much you can reduce at least, if not totally eliminate. That should happen. That should happen at, for example, now you are having all these plastic itself again. You're getting, you know, when I was a kid, we used to go to buy milk with cans.
Yes.
Steel vessels we used to take. Then we came up with glass bottles, which we used to return yesterday, the old bottles, and we'll get new bottles. Now, why are we going for plastic? Why are we having sachets? I don't know. Who did this change? And what was the necessity? Did anybody put a thought to it? Oil. I remember for very long, when we were kids, the man used to come with that big drum on a cart. And we used to buy in our vessels. That was a good idea. Why are we with sachets? I don't. So I'm giving one example. Like this, there are, see, for example, industrial pollution going into the rivers. These all, they have to seriously think. We cannot switch it off in a day.
True.
But we have to be serious about the intent and go towards it. Now, that's the basic thing about being eco-friendly and saving Mother Earth. Now, if you come to my industry, I mean, if you look at aerospace, defense, surely we are not in that focus. Even healthcare. Okay? See, what's happening there is that, again, we are trying to give comfort. We are trying to, our, what is our goal is different, you know. So there, even if I talk of being eco-friendly, I would be dismissed. That's what it is, as of now. But I always think, you know, this electronics, we are saying about e-waste handling and all that. It is a subject that we have to worry about. I think we have to work out, it has to, that stream has to begin now at least. I think if you look at, I'm telling all the other industries, please bring in rules so that we don't bring newer things without worrying about this. That's the way to start and slowly reduce harmful things. That intent should be there and it should not be changeable. That means, suppose one government comes and it is not bothered, or you bribe somebody, you can get away. That should not be there. That should be reduced. I'm not saying it can, these all cannot be, you know, you
eradicated.
Yeah, sure. Totally. So we have to keep reducing. That is the realistic view. Aerospace and defense, I feel the amount of electronics that we are using, that's why reusable. How do we come out with, see, for example, in manufacturing, this digital twin concept has come. How do we do without making major 10 times the prototype? How do we do a EE prototype and then finally go to manufacturing?
Okay.
You know, these are the ways I feel we can bring in being eco-friendly and being more conscious of sustainable goals.
Yes.
You know, I think that's where we are. I hope I answered your question.
Yes, you did. And I learned something new about digital prototype. This is something I had not heard.
Digital twin.
Yes, and I didn't know this existed.
Yes.
And it's quite a... So when we look at sustainability, it's nice to see that there are different ways we can do it. It's not just about grow more trees. And,
yes,
you know,
yes.
But there are technological ways in which you can attain the same true. We have learned a lot. I have surely learned many things today from you, starting from, you know, having the passion, not losing your what you have in life, that is the purpose. Next is never giving up.
Yes.
Always thinking ahead and having an entrepreneurial thought process.
Yes.
If you really want to be one, you need to have all these precursors. And that sustainability is not just a buzzword, but there is a requirement and there is a need for it.
Of course.
And at the end, before we wrap up this episode, I always ask everyone who is on this platform that if they're youngsters who are thinking about being entrepreneurs in the field of design, concept, aerospace, healthcare, what is it that the one mantra that you want to give them? I know you've given many, but that one thing that is very important.
I think passion is the most significant thing, and you know, never give up. If you have these two, And I think youngsters want to do it, but they should have that guts in them. You know, this is the real guts. You know, if they should feel for it. They should not come just because somebody is saying. And they should know that they're really going to get the kick. You know, the youngsters are looking for kick. And this is where the kick is. They should know it. To discover it, they have to walk the path. So I think if they have the passion and the courage to never give up, then they'll get the kick. They should just get it right. That's what I would say.
Thank you so much for giving us the kick today to not ever fall short on the dreams and the passion that we have. And thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed talking it. It was just a free-flowing talk and it was really lovely. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us on another episode where we talk about a concept product, and we'll see you real soon.